Paul, the cattle mutilation story in Canada. Now, this one intrigues me. How long have you been investigating it? What led you into this film, Fields of Fear?
Yeah, I tell you first, George, it's great to be sort of played in by the zombies. That's cool. One of my favorite bands. Cattle mutilations. Well, Fern Belzil, whenever you make a film in Canada, it always helps to have a Canadian angle. That's a long story. But I was originally looking at making a film about chupacabras, actually. And it was sort of indicated to me that maybe chupacabras had been done, if not to death, then perhaps, you know, to a slow roast. And if I could find a Canadian angle to sort of mutilation stories of some sort, the network would be amenable to that. And so I took a look, and I ran across Fern Belzil up there in northern Alberta, St. Paul, which is about an hour and a quarter east of Edmonton. And I took a look, and I found out, you know, Fern's a fascinating guy, and he's Canada's leading cattle mutilation investigator. I think a lot of people think that the cattle mutilation phenomenon is restricted to the United States. It's not. There are a number of cases in Canada. Fern's investigated them, and he has his conclusions, his data. He's worked in the past with NIDS and other people in the United States, so it's sort of a cross-border thing, I guess. But for me, as a filmmaker, what you're always looking for, as well as the cold, hard data, as it were, and the theories, is there a human story here? And Fern's, I think he's in his late 70s, and he's a crusty old guy. Years, you know, 40, 50 years as a top cattle farmer, award winner. You should see his wall. He's got banners and trophies. The guy knows his cattle. So that lends a veneer of credibility to him that perhaps most mutologists, or whatever you want to call them, don't have, because he's spent his life around these animals. So when he talks, regardless of what you think about cattle mutilations, you sort of have to listen to him, because he's raised these animals his entire life. And he certainly has the respect of the people in his community up there in St. Paul and in the area around it. So cattle mutilations are interesting in and of themselves, but Fern provided a very human angle to the story that always intrigues any filmmaker, I think. And that's the film's as much about him as it is about the subject of cattle mutilations.
Well, I love his name. Did he ever have cattle mutilations on any of his farms?
No. Again, here's a guy who, it's a very interesting story. St. Paul built a UFO landing pad purely, and they admit it, as a tourist idea in 1967, right, which was Canada's centennial. So there was a lot of money flowing around to build things, and they built a UFO landing pad for no particular reason. They just thought it would be a good draw. As it turns out, it was. In the early 1990s, their Chamber of Commerce decided to add a building to the UFO landing pad shaped like a flying saucer that would service the town's Chamber of Commerce, and they thought a good stunt, and again, they make no bones about it, it was a publicity stunt, would be to set up a UFO hotline. But they would take the UFO calls seriously as they would come in. And amidst the UFO calls that were coming in, they started to get some calls about cattle mutilations. And Fern knew the general manager of the Chamber of Commerce at the time, Paul Pelche, who we interviewed for the film as well. They got a call one day, and Fern just happened to be walking into the office, and Pelche said, "Hey, we just got a call from Saskatchewan. There's a cattle mutilated there. They want us to go have a look at. Would you come?" And Fern said, "Sure, I'm not doing anything else. I'm retired. Why not?" And he went, and I think Paul Pelche is quoted in the film as going, "Wow." I think that's his exact quote.
Yeah.
Fern's a little more circumspect. He doesn't go, "Wow." He says, "Well, when I first got there, you know, I thought maybe this is not real." But then he talks about the reasons why he believed that case was real, as a cattle mutilation and a paranormal anomalous event, and why he goes on to generally believe that there is an anomalous, perhaps paranormal aspect to cattle mutilations that can't be explained simply by, most people say predators. The proper way to put it, I think, would be scavengers. Animals come along and scavenge animals that are already dead. Because the term predators implies that maybe some small coyote pulled down a cattle. And that's not quite correct. The idea is that the cow dies and the scavengers wander in and inflict the wounds. So, that's Fern. That's his story. And he's in the film. Kevin Randall's in the film, taking a very skeptical look at it. Kevin is one who believes that cattle mutilations, or is convinced, rather, that cattle mutilations can be explained in prosaic terms, scavengers, by and large, with a few hoaxes thrown in.
Did you talk with Linda at all, Bolton Howe?
No, I didn't. Did talk to Nick Redfern. There are other people involved in the film. Didn't talk to Linda Bolton Howe, no.
And in terms of Ferns, and I know because this is a film, you don't want to give out the bottom of it, but is he convinced beyond just paranormal that, yes, there are some natural occurrences here, yes, there are some animals that are scavengering cattle, but that there's something else going on too?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that's not a leap I would make, but as a filmmaker, it's not about the leaps that I would make, it's the leaps that the subject would make. And Fern is very cagey, and Greg Bishop's in the film, interviewed about cattle mutilations and the history of it, and Greg said something very interesting. He said, you know, Fern, you know, for a guy that you might write off as a simple country bumpkin farmer kind of guy, is a very cagey guy. He doesn't come right out and say what he thinks they are. He will tell you in his lectures, I don't think it's this, I don't think it's this, I don't think it's this. And if by the process of elimination you kind of go through it, it's pretty clear that he thinks it's probably aliens, or at least aliens are involved in some of them. But he won't say that. And Greg Bishop made the point that's in the film, and I think it's a very good point, that that's probably the best way to approach it if you are convinced that maybe it's aliens, or conversely, if you're convinced that maybe it's the government doing it, is to not come out and say that directly, but to sort of say that is probably the most likely way to do it. And that way you tend to not drive off people who might sort of say, well, you're just a UFO wingnut. And I think Fern's been pretty successful at that. I've seen him at his lectures, and people keep an open mind when he presents his evidence. And he does it pretty well, too. I think people will be captivated by him when they see the film and go, yeah, this guy, whether you believe or not in what he's telling you, this is a guy that that walks the walk and not just talks the talk, rather, but he's walked the walk for many years. So let's listen to him.
How were some of the cattle mutilated, Paul? I mean, was it very difficult to determine?
Well, that depends on your point of view. If you sort of believe that they're scavengers, then there's relatively easy explanations for all of it. Fern, you know, describes wounds with surgical precision and laser cuts and stuff, as Linda Moulton Howe does.
Which can't happen from an animal.
No, but other people, like Kevin Randall and like any one of a number of veterinarians, and the much maligned Ken Rommel and his report, which drew upon a wide range of veterinary expertise, will tell you that those wounds can be made by animals. They're not done with surgical precision or lasers. They just look like they're done with surgical precision or lasers. But in fact, for instance, coyotes can make very fine cuts that can resemble things, at least to the untrained eye, taking a relatively quick look, maybe to surgical precision. Kevin Randall brings up a very interesting point. He says every police officer, whoever says that this looked like it was cut by a laser, the first question you should ask them is, have you ever seen anything that was cut by a laser outside of a Star Wars film? Do you actually know what a laser burn looks like? Have you seen flesh cut by a laser before? If they have, then okay, fine. If they haven't, well, you know, you take that observation for what it's worth, which might not be very much.